This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Jacob Chychrun in moments as the Caps get ready to play the New York Rangers tonight. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back. Exclusively sponsored by the law firm Condori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate, transactions, probate, administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. On the Rude Guest Hotline is Jacob Chychrun, who's got the third highest goal total of all the defensemen in the National Hockey League. And as we told you last week, we are giddy to announce that he'll be with us each and every week, every Wednesday, for the remainder of the season, providing trusted insight from a trusted insider. This is all presented by our friends at IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Jacob, last time out, Monday night, you guys got a massive win in a shootout, snapping a three-game losing streak. Wasn't pretty the entire way. Gave up a three-goal lead, gave up a couple of leads, but you finally got that 2 points and that win that's been eluding you. Take us back to Monday night.
Yeah, Willie led the way there with the Gordie Howe hat trick, so we were happy for him. Obviously a big night for our group to get back in the, you know, in the win column. And we still feel like we, you know, have another step to take as a team. That game wasn't necessarily perfect by any means, but, we'll take the positives from it and try to continue to get better as a group as we, you know, get closer to playoff time.
Yeah, Jacob, you guys have been so unbelievably good this year that it just feels so out of the ordinary. It's your first three-game schneid of the season. When it's not going as well for you guys, kind of what's the difference, things you can point to, and you know, how big a nice step forward was last night?
Yeah, I think, we like to use is predictability. I think when we're playing, it makes it easier to make reads off one another and support each other all over the ice. I think, you know, when we start to overcomplicate or pass or you know, hold on to pucks a little too long, it makes it harder for, you know, guys to make reads off one another or be on the same page. I think, we're at our best when we're defending hard and getting pucks behind their D and getting on a forecheck and generating ozone time. You know, I think that's a big part of today's game is spending more time in the ozone than the zone. And, anybody that does that on a consistent basis is going to have success. So that's sort of, a big thing we find was kind of lacking a little bit. Just guys, you know, not being on the same page and not playing predictable for one another. So, we'll have to get back to that, you know, kind of brand of hockey that we play that has worked all year for us.
Jacob Chychrun, a top three scoring defenseman in the National Hockey League, one of the most important capitals. We are thrilled to be having him on the show every single Wednesday for the remainder of the season, presented by IT Cadre. Going to be a great partnership here moving forward. Hey, Jacob, how about the opportunity to play Ottawa? I mean, I know that's not the only team you've played for, right, in the NHL, but you were there for a couple of years. They trade you this offseason. I don't know if that was something initially you're excited about or not, but straight up for Nick Jensen, who's in the lineup for them, going back a couple of nights ago as well. So what's that like when you are playing your old mates and trying to kind of prove that, hey, you shouldn't have traded me?
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun playing against the guys. I mean, you know, you build great relationships with you know, all your teammates that you've had the privilege to play with. So it's always special, you know, being able to see the guys and compete against them. Obviously, you know, Arizona and Ottawa are, well, now Utah are kind of the two teams that I, you know pretty much the whole group. So, yeah, those are fun games. I think, you know, fun to go out and compete and you know, obviously, they're both teams that are finding their way. I think they're both teams that are, you know, competing really hard to make the playoffs this year. And they're both right there, which was nice to see. I mean, for a long time, that wasn't the case for both those teams. And I think there was some frustrating years for most of the guys on both those squads. So, you know, I'm happy to see both of them be in the hunt at least. And yeah, but yeah, those are, you know, just fun games, like I said. So it's always nice playing against, you know, all teammates.
I always hear guys in the league talking about the group text, you know, in the locker room, because you guys are all so tight-knit that a bunch of you are going to go out and get steak or whatever. So I'm wondering, when you get traded, how quickly do you get dropped off the group text? Or do you have to do that yourself? Or you just kind of wake up one morning and you've been removed? Like, how does that work?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think you get a notification when you get dropped, so it's not.
You're just
like,
gone. You just don't hear from them anymore.
I got no notifications.
I mean, the majority of the group texts are for our team services guy to let us know of any updates to the schedule and stuff like that. So obviously, you know, I think the team services guys are usually the guys that are taking you off those team threads. But yeah, like I said, I don't think you get a notification when you're dropped. You just get one when you're added. So I guess I don't know exactly when it happens, but I imagine they try to do that pretty quickly. And guys will sometimes send a text, you know, a goodbye text, you know, if they do drop out themselves, they'll maybe send a text before doing so, just to, you know, have one last farewell. But yeah.
Jacob Chychrun with us here on Grant and Danny, part of his weekly installment with us going forward. Jacob, you were a baseball guy growing up, right? You played baseball?
I did, yeah. I loved it.
So I want you to imagine when you were a kid, let's say you got a fastball in the inner half and you ripped a double to the right center field gap. Then the next time up, you homered. I would imagine a pitching coach might say, hey, stop throwing him there. That's what I would have told Ottawa last night on that catching glove of Logan Thompson. Try somewhere else in the goal, man. That thing was magic last night.
Yeah, it's good. Good eye by you. I mean, I thought the same thing, and I talked to some of the guys on Ottawa after the game, and they were saying the same thing as well. They just, you know, couldn't believe how good his glove was last night. So, yeah, when he's seeing the puck, he's more often than not saving it, and I think his glove was obviously pretty elite last night.
Jacob, I am a fan of 3-on-3 overtime. When it first came to the league, I actually thought it was the greatest thing in sports. But I will say, as much as I'm a diehard NHL fan and I'm wearing a Caps hoodie as we talk now, 3-on-3 to me has become just such a possession game where it's kind of lost the luster. Like, I still love it. I'll take it over 5-on-5. But, like, last night, you guys win the draw, and I just want you to keep the puck. And I think it was until Mikey shot about a minute and 40 later that you kind of were dropping back to the neutral zone. You're going back as far as you need to. You're slingshotting backwards. Do you like where we're at now with 3-on-3, or would you implement a rule? Like, I want to see something where either you can't leave your own offensive zone or you can't get past neutral ice going in the wrong direction? Like, what's your thought on that?
I don't know. I think it's funny. I think the coaches are usually the ones to blame for that. They don't want the high risk run and gun style. I think when it first came in, you saw every night it was like it's either a breakaway or two on one. You know, it's just down and back. It's just back and forth the whole time. But I think that usually tends to give, you know, coaching staffs a few heart attacks. So they tend to want to get it a little bit more possession based and a little less risk. So I think that's why now you see it a little bit less run and gun, but I don't know. I still enjoy it. I think it's fun. It depends. I think there's some times where it opens up a bit and it is run and gun, but you know, for the most part, it is quite possession based now. Our guys just don't want to give up much. So I don't know about any rules going forward, but I know that was talked about. But I don't know. I think maybe just leave it as is and let the guys go.
Speaking of possession, Jacob, you're so gifted stick handling wise and jumping up into the play on offense. How long does that kind of take for you and your defensive pairing, or maybe a forward that's got a pinch back to cover for you now? Like, how long does that take to kind of make it intuitive for them to maybe understand what you might want to do when it's aggressive time?
Yeah, I mean, that's just something we talk about. You know, you got to cover for each other, and it's all about generating offense once you're in the ozone. So we want our, you know, D-men all being active, and the forwards know that, and they know, you know, when we're trying to generate and create, they need to back us up. So it's just everybody being on the same page and making sure you're filling in for one another.
Jacob Chychrun with us on Grant and Danny. Hey, we got a heavyweight bout last night. Tom Wilson going at Brady Tkachuk. I guess Tkachuk really came at him after Willie took a shot from Claude Giroux. But I saw Willie in the dressing room after the game said he got a text from Mikey, kind of suggested he wanted some fireworks, which is fun. What'd you think about that? That's two big dudes throwing fists right in front of the bench last night.
Yeah, obviously entertaining. I just think Willie's always ready to bring a spark for us when we need it. It's just, those are two big guys going at it. And, Brady's a really big boy. And obviously Willie's, you know, been doing that for a long time and just a really strong guy. So, glad none of them got hurt. It's always fun to watch. And, it definitely brings a spark to the group. So, good on them for doing that for their teams.
HockeyFights.com's got you down for four fights in your career that I'm seeing here. You got Phillips. We got a good one with Braden Schenn here. Landeskog. Sound about right? Four fights, none since 22?
Yep, that sounds about right.
When's the next one?
My dad always told me it doesn't pay enough. I mean, he had to do that for this career. And he wanted all us young kids growing up to play with the puck. And, you know, I think he knew that that was a much easier way to make a living. My pops told me there was a lot of restless pregame naps, knowing who he was going to have to go toe-to-toe with that evening. And, I have a lot of respect for the guys that make a living doing that. It's not easy. And, I think for me, I'd rather just have the puck on my stick and make plays out there.
Yeah, keep
but
doing
I'm
it.
I'm always willing to stick up for a teammate when it's in need.
Have you turned any fights down, and what's the protocol there?
Turn any down? I mean, I don't know. I obviously don't have a reputation for dropping the gloves, so I don't think anybody's really coming after me asking unless I do something or, whatever the case may be, but. You know, usually if you tend to make a dirty play, you're going to get asked to answer the bell. But for the most part, it doesn't happen too much. So,
well, Jacob, we're fired up to have you on the show for the rest of the season each Wednesday. We're going to have to figure out, though, what the intro music's going to be for your segment. Do you have a band or a song that you really like that we could play to kick off the segment out of the break each week?
How about you guys surprise me, and I'll give the thumbs up or thumbs down. Maybe we'll have to change it up each week until you find a good one for me.
I won't give any hints. Yeah. You could grade our choice. Give us an idea just of your favorite type of music so we know what lane, what aisle
I'm
to
a country
shop
guy.
On.
Country guy, for sure.
All right, good. We will mix it up, and then you'll give us the approval or the denial, and we'll settle on our sweet spot.
All right, guys. All the best. Thank you.
Jacob Chychrun of the Capitals going to be with us all season long for the remainder of the year, every single Wednesday. I think he's going to be a nice addition to the program, Danny. He is a star.
He is so good. It's one of those things where, I should probably keep my mic on. You are so much better versed in the league than I am, just in terms of
teams
and rosters.
Can I ask, how did you turn off your mic mid-sentence?
So I was actually trying to mute something on my computer, and instead I muted myself, which is...
Because I do that a lot to start after a break or something, but that was like you're in the middle of talking.
And I cut myself right off.
And then you turn your mic off.
I was trying to do... Because the video that was about to play is the video that Toby took of Ryan's commercial break bullpen.
Yeah.
And there's audio with that. I was like, oh, this is going to pop up, so I better mute it. And, of course, my right hand's my dominant hand. The closest thing that I can mute is that button that turns off my mic like that. So that's what I did. And that's not great, to be honest with you. The thought I was trying to make is, so Chychrun was on my radar just sort of barely before he came to Washington. This is one of those, like, everybody that said no thank you to Jacob Chychrun, what a buffoon. What an idiot you are. I can't believe you let a guy like that get out of your building. That's all.
He's bounced around too, man. It's amazing. He started his career so young as a teenager. But for a guy with his talent to have been on as many teams as he has already, you're right. I mean, it's just strange. But a lot of what you're seeing is this is what happens when guys come to Washington. In a good situation with a real quality supporting cast, great locker room culture, right now arguably the best coaching staff top to bottom in the NHL. I think they may lose an assistant to a head coaching job this year off Carbs' staff. But he's been in Arizona, Ottawa, now Washington, third stop to Charmin. It's not like he hasn't had some really good years. But thanks to IT Cadre, trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose. They sponsored Austin Eckler. We're now getting them in on Jacob Chychrun with us. So very, very cool that we'll continue to bring our listeners these great conversations with stars in D.C. Thanks to IT Cadre. All right, next on The Fan, I want to run through some of Washington's free agents to be. We're actually creeping up on the start of the league year. Everything's been quiet on their front in terms of who they've re-signed, who they haven't. Hasn't been a whole lot of bringing their own guys back just yet. It's going to happen as we get closer to the start of the league year, but it certainly has not happened yet. Let's run through some of the names and discuss how likely it is that they get a deal in place before the market opens up next on The Fan.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This puts me in the football mood in the middle of the offseason. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Our poll of the day is up on 106.7 The Fan's Twitter account. Presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. We were talking in our first hour today about teams like the Lions and the Packers who are getting rid of season ticket holder policies from ticket holders who sell too many of their seats. Do you have an issue with teams revoking season tickets from those folks that are selling their seats? I do, Danny doesn't. You know what's interesting? The poll is 50-50.
Is that right?
Yeah, on the nose.
Because this is one of those hot-button issues, not the right term, because it's not like every kitchen table in America is discussing it, but it's one of those, the thing that bothers you the most about it, you'll find, and that'll influence which side of it you're on. So in other words, the thing that I care about, opposing fans screaming at me in my home stadium. So whatever I got to do to get rid of that, I'm pretty much down to do. And this is part of that to me. If you care about your point, I think is, I don't want to steal from you, but I think your point is, I paid for the ticket. Leave me alone. Like I bought it. If I want to give it to my wife, a cousin, a former teacher, a buddy, stop bothering me about stuff like that.
This is mine now. Yeah, leave me be. I have given you the money. You've given me the product. Mm-hmm. Now get away from me.
Yeah.
That's my relationship with
you. I just want no Cowboys fans anywhere. That's kind of my goal.
Yeah, I also think this boils down probably in terms of voters and things to season ticket holders who presumably don't want to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people that are not season ticket holders who say, oh, they shouldn't be allowed to sell them. Or people that don't go to games say, oh, they shouldn't be allowed to sell them. Why should they tell me what I should be able to do? I'm the one at the games. I'm the one with the tickets. I'm the one that's a season ticket holder. So probably, and this is the case in most polls you're going to vote in.
Sure.
Like your direct...
your sphere of influence or
you know,
whatever
relationship
bothers you.
Yeah. To the conversation is going to be significant. All right, let's go through the Commanders free agents to be here with the league year starting up a week from now. I want to decide if we think that they're going to get a deal in place with each of these players before the league year starts. We'll begin. Let's go in the order of how much guys made last year. That in some way should be also an order of importance. Bobby Wagner made $6.5 million, played on 99% of the team's snaps. Will they have a deal in place with Wagner before the league year opens?
I say yes. I think it's a multi-year with a raise.
I say no.
Mm.
Wouldn't be surprised. But I think maybe he goes to market and then possibly comes back.
So what's going to happen? Is he going to go like, hey, Pete Carroll called or a couple other guys that might be invested there?
Yeah, why not? I mean, he could see what else is out there and just kick the tires on a couple other situations and maybe come back. I don't know why he'd be tied to the Commanders. Mm-hmm. I think he probably wants to be here, though, and I'm sure that they want him here. But I've said this about wide receiver today. This is my bigger point about his position. I would like to get younger and faster. That's going to be a theme for me when we talk about this team.
Mm-hmm.
I love Bobby Wagner. I want Bobby Wagner on the roster. Do I need him to play 99% of snaps as a 35-year-old next year? I don't think I do. I would like him here. I'd like him in the dressing room to be the alpha. I want him to lead the speech, run out of the tunnel with the boys holding the American flag. I want him to play plenty. He's still very good. But I don't need him every single down on the field. I think the path to being a better defense, a scarier defense, might be with more speed at that position. Marcus Mariota, backup quarterback, made $6 million. He's 32 years old, played 8.6% of snaps last year. In the two games where he played a half of football or more, actually played really, really well.
So I don't think something will get done in advance. I think because of that little sample that you referenced, people are going to go, hey, he was a model citizen as a backup quarterback. That's worth it to us to have him in the room, mentorship, maybe spot time starter for a couple teams that are in transition. I actually think he goes to market and gets a raise.
I think he stays, but I think it's after the league year opens. This will be a day one, day two, day three. Hey, Mariota re-signed 2 years and 11 mil or whatever the number is. Jeremy Chinn made $4.1 million last year. He's 27. He played 94% of defensive snaps. This is the first one I'm going to say. I think they get a deal done with Chinn ahead of free agency. Might be decent, a little money for him too, mm-hmm. on a multi-year deal. I thought he was good enough that you already have enough needs on defense. You don't want to create another one by letting him walk. I think they get a multi-year deal done with Jeremy Chinn.
Lockstep there with you. The safety market, I don't want to say saturated, but there's a couple other Jeremy Chins. The point is that you're not going to stand out in that marketplace because he's not exceptional. He's good. I thought he played well here. He'll be in line for a couple years and a little bit of a raise.
Remember last year, Cam Curl hit the market and couldn't find anywhere to pay
him good money. I was totally wrong about that. I'm going, you got to do it. You got to do it. And they were totally right.
I mean, his dad on social was like floating $15 million a year and talking about how much money he might make. And I think he got $6 million or something to go to the Rams. KJ Osborne, the former Viking and Patriot, barely played with Washington at all. He played 22% of snaps on all the teams he was on, but not here.
He was
very, very sparingly used. $4 million player last year. I would say no chance he re-signs.
I don't think so. Yep.
Cleveland Farrell got hurt, only played 34% of snaps, 28 years old, $3.7 million last year.
I think they took a radio flyer last year. I think it's a fare thee well. I don't think he signs before the new year.
Agreed. Here's one I think gets done. Tress Way, the punter. $3.3 million last year. I think Tress signs a multi-year deal to finish his career in Washington. He'll be 35 this season.
I think so, too. That's the holder, Tress Way. Please and thank you.
Dante Fowler Jr., 10.5 sacks last season, despite only getting $1.4 million guaranteed and $3.2 million overall on his one-year deal. He's now 31, but he played about half of the snaps, 52% of snaps. That tells you about his ability or lack thereof against the run, and the fact that he's kind of situationally used just as an edge. He also only had 2 sacks in the final 10 games he played in. When you count the 3 playoff games, that all complicates things. I don't think they have a deal in place by the time the league year starts.
I don't think so either. And this is one where you and I differ. I think he's going to go to the open market and get more than we think. I think someone's going to be so desperate for pass rush that they'll say, damn it, it's worth it. And he'll get double-digit $1 million. That's my prediction.
You think he makes $10 million
a
year? Wow. Yeah, I'll be surprised by that. Because he's not two-dimensional. I don't know if you could pay a guy with an injury history who's had 2 big sack seasons ever $10 million to be one-dimensional.
I wouldn't, but I think somebody's going to be desperate.
Michael Davis, man, did he struggle when he played last season. 12% of snaps, made $3.2 million. I would say he's going to hit the market and be looking for work.
Yeah, I'll say if they do that, I'll be very upset. So I imagine him going.
What a bargain this was. $3 million last year for Zach Ertz. 66% of snaps. He'll be 35 years old. This one's tough. I will say Ertz gets a contract before free agency starts, and they sign him to like a 2-year deal for $16 million with the first year guaranteed or something like that. Maybe he gets $10 million guaranteed, and if they want to get out of it at the end of the year, they can pay him a couple million and be done.
I think so, too. I think it's one of those, he'll get his multi-year, and the second year will be much kinder in terms of off-ramps, cap, their friendliness, et cetera.
But by staying healthy and producing and becoming as important to the offense and to Jaden Daniels and the coaching staff as it seemed like he did, I think he's going to get a nice raise, too. Part of why he only got the $3 million was, I remember you and I having the conversation, he's going to play 6-7 games. But then he played the whole year.
And was better in the second half than the first. I mean, none of the things that happened for him last year made sense to me or were things I would have predicted.
Yeah, I loved the addition, and I thought he if he could play, he could still be good. Yeah. There's no reason not to think. It's not like his game you need speed or twitch or wiggle or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't very much money. Great for that room. Quarterback's best friend is a safety valve who's not necessarily about explosion anymore, but body control, goal line, short yardage type stuff, absolutely was a positive player.
So we're getting into the next tier, which is kind of cheaper players, mm-hmm. and it's always easier, I think, to just not have to worry about it. You can re-sign these guys because if they don't make the team, it's not the end of the world if you move on. But let's go through some of these names. Cornelius Lucas, their swing tackle, he's actually pretty important. I played on 40% of snaps, believe it or not. Now, he's older than you think he is.
34.
He's come on strong toward the end of his career here. But at 34 years old, coming off of making $2.8 million, I actually talked to him at the Super Bowl on Radio Row and had a nice conversation with him. And he basically suggested that he does want to be a starter. He wants to be a starter here, but overall, he would love the opportunity to finally prove that he could do that at the end of his career. So that's going to make it hard. I'm going to say he does not re-sign with the team. They've just got so many balls in the air on the offensive line and at tackle that I don't think you want to box yourself in by paying him.
Yeah, I think maybe this is one of the – I don't think a deal is in place before the league year. I think he might go out and see, hey, is there a starting opportunity for me? I think the league will say not really, and he'll end up back here.
Michael Dieter, I don't believe this. It says he played 19% of snaps, but I don't think that's right. I guess it's possible because – of all the Biotish on and off injuries,
yeah.
Allegretti got banged up. Cosme obviously got hurt in the playoffs. And he was playing both guards and center at different points. Only made $1.8 million. If I could bring him back at sub $2 million, I could easily get a two-year, $4 million deal done with him ahead of free agency and just have one extra body to throw at the interior offensive line issue.
You think they lock it up before it starts?
Why not? Yeah. I mean, it depends. He's not a guy, to me, that has a big market. It's not like, I've got to wait to see what the other teams think. Hey, man, you can stay here. You don't have to move. And I'm going to give you a two-year deal for $4 million. And by the way, you know, only 1.8 or whatever is guaranteed. So if they cut him, then you just wear that. But you don't have to do that. There's probably 30 of him available. But after last year, he knows your offense. Yeah, I'll guess that they re-sign him for a very small deal.
I could see that as well because he filled in, I think, at three different spots at various points.
Trent Scott, I'll say no deal.
Agreed.
Alamide Zaccheaus played 42% of snaps, made $1.2 million. Does he re-sign before the start of the league year?
I don't think he does. Now, I think this would be another one where he wants a raise, wants to go out and say, look what I just did, 45 catches and part-time duty. I can be helpful. Anyone? And then maybe he comes back after that, but I think this will be one of those, everybody got something out of last year. You outperformed your contract, certainly. You were valuable to us. We don't want to break the bank for you. But go see what you're worth, and if you don't get it, you're more than welcome back here as our fourth or fifth wideout.
I'll agree to that. I could see this one. Noah Igbinoghene made $1.2 million at 26 years old. Now, he should be a guy that would want to test the market because I think he's got decent enough tape that he could get a pretty good raise. But with their corner problems, where mm-hmm. Benjamin St. Juste is going to hit the market, Lattimore is a big question mark to me. I know they don't seem to publicly feel that way, but I think they should based on his injuries recently and how he played. That's a guy I'd want to bring back. I would get a deal done with him ahead of free agency. It's not going to cost you a lot. You just need some quantity. Forget the quality for a moment. You need some bodies in the secondary. He did well enough to be one of them.
He's still only 25, by the way. 2 years younger than St. Juste. I think of him as a veteran, a guy that's been around, because I guess he's still relatively young when it comes to that. So I could certainly see that. I kind of had a different impression in my mind where older player not making that much. Wrong. 25 only made or was making. Yeah, never mind. I can't speak. I think they sign him before free agency starts.
They let St. Juste walk. They let Crowder walk. Issues there?
No. Agreed.
Deami Brown, I think, hits the market after his big postseason and tries to shop a little bit.
I do too. I don't think he comes back. I think somebody's going to say, we saw enough potential that we're going to overpay you for the production you're going to bring.
Sheldon Day, I'll say they re-sign, knowing that Allen is likely out. You guys missed the report earlier this hour. According to Michael Silver, he's saying Jonathan Allen will be released if he's not traded by the Commanders. Silver reports for The Athletic. I'll say, based on that, they re-up with Sheldon Day on the cheap as
Agreed.
Their third
yep.
defensive tackle.
Lock in there, yep.
Any other names that are interesting?
McNichols.
Noah Brown.
Oh, I'm going to say Noah Brown. They try to bring back, but I don't think he'll sign before free agency.
Coming off of a serious injury, I'll say that nothing happens there. Jeff Driscoll, they let walk. Jalen Holmes probably let walk. Jeremy McNichols, I think you let walk.
I think he's going to walk, yeah.
Replacement level type guy. The kickers, both of them, Zane Gonzalez and Austin Seibert, I think they both hit free agency.
I do too.
I think you got to try to do better. By the way, Brandon McManus.
I was going to bring it up.
3-year deal at $5 million per for the Packers.
They liked what they saw.
Basically the deal I think Washington signed him to last year,
mm-hmm.
but a little more money because he did a nice job. Other free agents include Kaz Allen, Chris Rodriguez, Derek Forrest, John Bates, and Jeff Driskel, the backup quarterback.
What about Bates, by the way?
Bates, they'll get a deal done with.
I agree with that. Do you think they let Rodriguez walk?
Yeah, I'll say they will. Him and Robinson are a little bit redundant. You know, unless you're moving on from B-Rob, which I don't think they are, then in my plan, you're going and getting a speed back who's your RB1, mm-hmm. and Robinson's your change of pace. That makes it, now you've added a running back. Chris Rodriguez was already your 4.
Yep.
I don't know if you need him and Robinson, you know, in that conversation. What did you guys like that you just heard us say? What didn't you like? Is there something you agree or disagree with there as we run through the likeliness of guys getting deals ahead of the market? 800-636-1067. Also next, I want to look at the odds of where free agent quarterbacks are going to end up right now offshore. We'll do that on The Fan. The Commanders have 28 pending free agents. They will hit the market next week. They're working on deals, presumably, with a bevy of those players as we speak. Who do you think they get deals locked in with before the start of the league year? Danny, if you picked, let's say, 2 players that you're going to bet on them not letting hit free agency, who would it be?
Ooh, okay, so 2 guys that they don't let go. I'm going to go real fast. Trustway, I would put money down on. And the other is Zach Ertz. Those are my 2 that I think they can get done. Willing partners. Nobody that's going to want to go gauge their value. That's like, nope, I'm here. Maybe not do the best business thing, but do the, hey, this makes sense. I'd rather not move. I like it here.
I'll say Trustway, and I'm going to go Jeremy Chinn. Ertz is on my list mm-hmm. as well, but I think Chinn makes sense from both parties to get something done and maybe even give him a little money. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris?
What's up, gentlemen? Hey, Morning. I got a nickname for Toby to throw around.
Go.
How about Toblerone? You guys ever tried that one?
I have indeed. That was I don't want to say it's one of my early ones, but that came to me a couple different times. We've gone Toblerone. We've gone Tobertime. Tobias Funke, which nobody around here knows because no one watched.
I don't understand Toblerone. What is that from?
The candy bar?
I don't do candy bars, so I guess I don't know about that one.
It's a big chocolate
Grant
candy.
Grant doesn't do tasty things. So I'm kind of in line with you. I think Ertz is a must sign because to me he's like a quasi offensive coordinator. I mean he can relay so much information to Jaden, possible other tight ends. You know, he's a coach on the field and a technician route running. I just don't think they can lose that. It's not so much about his talent. I just don't think they can lose that mental knowledge that he brings.
Like Chris, it's a sharp point, yeah.
I'm with you. And to that, go ahead. Sorry.
I also think Wagner is a must sign just because of continuity, leadership. I mean, I know he's aging, but still, he had a phenomenal year if you look at PFS stats. And he's also one of those quarterback of the defense guys. Maybe you, give him some snaps off to protect him or put, you know, draft a guy that he can coach up as well. And then I'm with you, Grant. I think Chinn is a must sign. I thought he had a really strong season, 94% of defensive snaps. That's another thing with continuity where I don't think you want to lose that.
Yeah, and Quan Martin's coming into his own as a tandem. I thought they started playing really well together down the stretch. Both of them made interceptions and had huge moments mm-hmm. in the playoffs. I just like the safety tandem that they built. Ertz was vital to Daniels.
Yes.
Are you at a point where Daniels doesn't need him the same way? Like the camp counselor doesn't have to be there all night long any longer. You can act like a big boy in your dorm or whatever. I don't know. I would imagine that a lot of the things that he helped him with last year aren't as necessary now. But I also think he just helps you as a player, and it's such an important position. Jay was raving about the tight end spot,
yep,
the critical nature of it yesterday. I've long thought this as well. It's long been undervalued, underpaid. I'm such a believer in having a strong tight end spot that I would absolutely bring him back.
So what I would like at some point is to be able to say, I'm going to move on from the mid-30s player that's had his best days behind him. I'm not there yet. I just don't have enough talent in the pipeline. I don't have enough draft picks, enough young pieces, enough guys on my board that I trust, or my locker room, rather, that I trust. If I was sure that Ben Sinnott was going to ball out next year, I'd go, okay, I can kind of afford to move on from Ertz and might get a little worse there, but I've got something. I hope I've got something, but I don't know. Same with Jordan McGee as a linebacker. Because I'm uncertain there, one day I'd like to be able to say, you know what? Thank you very much, aging veteran that meant a lot to me. I've got a good enough culture, good enough established pipeline to be able to move on from you. I don't think they're there yet.
Sometimes, though, you got to take the leap of faith. Because if you bring Ertz back this year as an example, you may not know about Sinnott either.
Right.
Still, going into next year. Eventually, you kind of got to just jump and hope you land on your feet. Andre, Temple Hills, what's good?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, so I want to talk about Austin Sabert. If I'm not mistaken, he only had two bad games, and those games all game he was injured, even though he only played 9 games. He's been pretty clutch, in my opinion. So why should we let him go instead of keep him? I don't think there's another good option to replace him. What do you think?
Well, if you remember, the vast majority of his kicks were in pretty tight. They didn't really trust him to kick from distance. He was 2 for 5 from 50-plus. I think in today's NFL, you need somebody with a big leg who can make those field goals. There was also that weird situation where they gave up the touchdown against the Cowboys because they kicked it off, and they said it's too hard to get touchbacks, and not for teams with guys with real legs.
Yeah,
you know?
Not for everyone.
But yes, to your point, he was 10 of 10, 20 to 29, which is less than an extra point. He was 7 of 7 from 30 to 39, so 17 of 17 from inside of 40. He was 25 of 25 from inside of 50, and all three of his misses as he went 27 of 30 were 50-plus. He was very good. I have no problem with him being in camp in a competition. He did his job adequately. I'm just looking for a giant leg. You know, a lot of teams, when you get to the 40-yard line now, you are in field goal range. For Washington, last year it was still, let's get inside the 30 to be sure. And I would just like, you're already starting 5 yards closer.
Yep.
You're one throw in the middle of the field, you know, across the midfield stripe to a 1st and 10 from like the other team's 46. And now you're 8 yards from field goal range for some of these teams. You know, no wonder why points are going up and percentage of drives where you score points.
Yeah, and it's also a mental edge as well, where you go, okay, we're in scoring position, we can be more aggressive. Because even if we stall out here, it's still 3 points, right? Instead of saying, oh, we got to inch closer and maybe let's play for a field goal, you could be more aggressive knowing that now these guys kick bombs and you're good from 55, 60.
Here's the odds for where the veteran quarterback free agents could end up. Aaron Rodgers most likely to end up with the Giants. Second most likely team, the Raiders. And then in order, the Steelers, Titans, and this one's funny, the Vikings. He could really just follow the Aaron Rodgers path.
Just go full Brett Favre.
I was going to say, yeah, the Favre path. Giants seems like the rumor. I mean, that's what everybody's talking about. I think it's New York or Vegas. I don't really see another home for him. The Steelers makes a ton of sense for him. If I'm Pittsburgh, I don't know that I want to do that.
I wouldn't be taking that on right now, given the turmoil in Pittsburgh, as to they've had some personality things that didn't work out, and they've been, you know, just sort of stuck in this quagmire of the last couple of years where they can't break through in a really difficult division. I would not be playing that game.
I'd like to see Sam Darnold end up in Pittsburgh. 2-to-1 odds on that. The only team he's more likely to end up at, according to oddsmakers right now, is Vegas with the Raiders.
Sure.
But I think Darnold to the Steelers. Giants are high up there, Colts as well. I think Pittsburgh and Darnold could be interesting. Let's talk to Charles Davis next. NFL Network analyst was at the Combine. The draft is 50 days away, plus Washington's been moving and shaking. A lot of ground to cover with him next on The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.